Today's episode of the City Smack Podcast is brought to you by Legs Are Feeling Good. It's my new mantra and a catchphrase. You'll hear me asking the guests on the show the question. It's a motto that I've adopted. It went from being a silly hashtag on my Instagram story when I caught myself saying it a couple times to full-on ethos. It's catching on all throughout the running community. I saw Colleen Quigley after her runner-up finish at the Fifth Avenue Mile, and she yelled it at the top of her lungs. Ben Flanagan, good friend of the pod, has used it a few times in his story. Leo Connor, David Ribich, many more pros are on the wave. So I started selling some mugs, and now we just made some t-shirts. So when you sip your morning coffee, when you're warming up before a race, if you're just hanging out, there's a way to let it be known that, hey, legs are feeling good. It's a mindset. It's a movement. Get a mug, snag a shirt. The link to the swag is in the show notes and the show description. So get it, tag me in your Instagram story, and I'll repost it. Legs are feeling good. This bonus episode of the podcast features a recurring guest. You might remember him if you've been listening to the show for a while. Had him on the show in March. It is the one and only Jason Suarez, also known as @NotAfraidToFail on Instagram. You might be familiar with his work as probably one of the top running photographers in the country. He's at all these major track meets. He's at some of the major marathons. He actually just got back from Berlin. But I decided to bring him onto the show because he's got a little bit of a special announcement. He is going to be back in Staten Island on November 4th to run the New York City Marathon. If you go back and listen to the first episode that we did with him, it sounds like he totally swore off ever doing another marathon again. But this time, he's got a special component where he's fundraising for Girls Gotta Run. So we talk a little bit about that. We talk a little bit about the art and tricks and trade of photography. So this is an interesting episode. It was recorded on a whim. We just happened to both be in an Uber on a Sunday night. And I had my podcasting equipment with me, and I was like, you know what? We're going to tape an episode. So pretty spontaneous. It's a lot of fun, and I hope you guys will enjoy this episode. So let's start the show. All right, we're live. Another episode of the City Smack podcast. This time, you know, we recorded the first one with my guest in a car, so I figured it'd be great to record another one in a car. My guest is the one and only Jason Suarez. Jason, welcome back to the show.
How's it going?
It's going well. I want to talk to you, I guess, about the marathon. You're back. You swore it off, and the last time you were on the show, you said, I think you thought you were one and done with the marathon.
Yeah.
Now you're running the New York City Marathon in a couple of weeks. What made you want to come back?
Well, I mean, a couple of people were talking trash, and I kind of want to, like, prove them wrong. And then also just partnering up with this organization that we partnered up with last time, Girls Gotta Run. So that was kind of the motivation behind it. It was a combination of just people talking trash and the girls. So
name names.
For one...
I wasn't one of them.
Please.
What? I'm serious. Yes, I've always been a supporter of you.
You were one of them.
What? And then how so?
A little bit of Fred Gorris. Damn, I said first and last name. Can we edit that out?
No.
Can we edit his last name?
It's staying
oh,
in.
Jesus Christ. No, there was just like a little trash talk here and there. And obviously, now that I look at it, what is it? Like 6 weeks out? 5 weeks out? I'm not going to hit the time that I really wanted to go in with. But I'm super happy with how far I've come, and you know, before starting week one of marathon training, not being able to run a half mile without stopping, right? And now I'm doing like 5Ks. My longest run has been 12 miles, and I know, I get it. I have to hit like 18 or 20 at some point. But like I've just loved the progress that I've been able to do in this journey. So it's been pretty cool.
That 12-mile long run is 9 miles longer than your previous long run in your previous build-up to the New York City Marathon.
Correct. Yeah. So, like, to me, it's been pretty cool because it's I actually have trained for this one.
Yeah.
Not as hard as I wanted to because of, like, scheduling and traveling and work. But, yeah, like, I feel that I want to give it another shot to a marathon after this one and actually, like, have a year to, like, build up and
so
train.
there will be a third. This is like when we're, you know, when they interview a movie star and they're like, oh, you know, the first movie was really good.
Right.
You know, is there going to be a second one? Oh, there is a second one. And then before the anyone can even see the second movie, they're there's already going to
be a third. No, I really want to do Berlin. I really want to just a year of running before I actually start training for a marathon again. You know, this has been a huge confidence booster. And I'm not, you know, running any crazy times. I'm just happy that I'm able to complete runs. And it feels good. I'm having fun again. It doesn't feel like I want to shoot. Sometimes I do feel like I want to shoot myself, but it feels like, okay, cool. Like, I can go out there and just get a couple of miles in.
And you have training partners this time around.
Yeah, which is pretty fun. I've been doing Project Moonshot over here in New York City. I've been bouncing back and forth with a couple of different pace groups. It's fun, like, going out on a run with, like, Hector and just running with him for a couple of, like, 10 miles and just shooting the shit throughout the entire time. It's, like, it's cool. So it's been good. And, like, people like Brian, Kara, even Leanne did a workout with me a few times.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people listening to this. They don't know these people just based off first names, but just in general, like, this is a program. It's 16 weeks, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Building up toward the New York City Marathon, and it's people of all paces and all sorts of just classifications, I guess, of runners coming together to put together their best performances in a fall marathon. It doesn't have to be New York. There's a couple of people who already got started and did Berlin, a couple people will be in Chicago, but most people will be doing New York,
right?
And it's inspiring to see. Like, I'm not prepping for a fall marathon right now, but seeing all these people working together toward the common goal of, hey, let's all put our best effort in a marathon, the itch is back for me, and I can't wait to start training for Tokyo in March.
Flex.
But you know, I mean, so what do you make, like, what has been the most fun part of working with these groups?
So, like, meeting different people, like, the amount of people, runners that I've been able to meet because of this program has been, like, amazing. And you just, like, I don't know, like, it's just, to me, like, being there with, like, the green pace group and having that person that counts on you to be there. And, like, I've been away for the past, like, 2.5 weeks. Like, I was working the U.S. Open, and then I went to Berlin. And as soon as I came back on...
Flex. Who can play this game?
So as soon as I came back on Saturday, one of the girls from from Moonshot was just like, thank God you're back. I've missed you. You know, and it's not... And she's older, and she was just like, I just like having you around, and we like vibe off of each other and just like help each other out. So she'll like sometimes she'll call me a ghost because I'll like she'll take the lead on me for like 4 or 5 minutes, and then out of nowhere I'll just like sprint up to her because that's how I run. I need to like sprint a little bit and then bring my heart rate back down and then keep on going again. So I don't know, it's just fun. It's I've met so many cool people in these past 10 weeks that,
yeah,
you know, it's, I know that at least from now going forward, I have a whole roster of people that I can just say, hey, let's go on a run, and it's going to be just chill, you know?
As of right now, like, your plan, it's still, there's still some time, but on race day, I mean, last time you ran the marathon, it was a solo effort from the gun for you. This time around, like, are you going to be keying, like, working with someone else who is in that close pace group, or?
So my friend Trent, he's based out in Texas. He's running it with me. I'm praying. From what I see on his Instagram, he's been like crushing it. So he's a former NFL player. Used to play for the Colts. Retired now. He's like a motivational speaker. If you've been following me for a while now, I get to travel a lot with him. I'm his personal photographer. So he is
also my personal photographer.
Right? So. Yeah, I guess. So he's running it with me. He looks like he's been telling me he's like dropped so much weight, and you know when all you're doing is just, you know, training for a marathon. Like, it's pretty cool to see him go from just, I'm a football player, to, you know, through this journey. So I'm super excited to just, like, get on the line with him and, like, let's see what we can do. And then Haley's running it with me again. And then I think Zach is also going to run it.
Hetrick.
No, not Hetrick. From USATF, he's going to be running it.
Okay.
I don't think you've
got friends.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
When you set out to do this marathon, you added a charity component to it this time around.
Yes.
So tell me about that. That's so interesting.
So the charity is trying to raise $30,000 for Girls Gotta Run. And the thing that we're trying to do, the reason why it's $30,000 is because that's how much it costs to cover an entire year of the program. But I'm not just going to go over there and just drop the $30,000 and that's it. We want to do an exchange program. So I've partnered up with a couple of friends. Like Trent, he's coming down with me. Little background on him, he's a motivational speaker. And he just travels around the entire planet and just, like, literally just goes and talks to people and motivates them, which has been pretty cool to see. And then Corey from Track Mafia, he's going to come down with me. And basically, he's going to be the coach. And it's an exchange program. They're gonna learn from they're gonna learn from us. We're gonna learn from them, and it's just gonna be a week of like activities, and there's gonna be a Ragnar relay as well.
And where's this taking place?
Ethiopia.
In Ethiopia.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we're trying to build this up, and the hardest part is raising the $30,000. Once that's in place, we'll be able to, like, okay, this is how much money, this is how much, like, time we're going to spend on this place, and this is how we're going to do this program. And, you know, after my trip in Ethiopia, I thought it was really cool how hard these girls worked, and it was inspiring. Like, they have literally close to nothing, and these girls are out there in altitude just ripping, you know? So it's kind of, like, I kind of want to go back and just give them supplies and give them uniforms and just little things that to make that week something that they remember for the rest of their lives.
Definitely. And you've traveled a lot for photography. So describe the situation in Ethiopia. You said it's not, they don't have a lot, but compared to other places you've been to Cuba, you've been to Kenya.
It's almost
what is
in
the like?
It's not like, it's so, I'm a sucker for kids who do sports in third world countries. And to me, it's just like,
because you're up close and you see
because
how
little
they have.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, kids who are playing soccer with a coconut or in no shoes, like what I saw in Cuba, to me, it's painful to see, because it's like, imagine if they had the same opportunities that we had here in the States. You know what I mean? And these kids are probably so talented and never get discovered. At least this time in Ethiopia, at least I know Kayla and I know Rosie, and I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I know that this money is going to go to these girls and it's going to benefit them in the long term. If I were to go to Cuba and try to do something like this, I have no idea who to partner with. Are the kids actually going to get the stuff? You know what I mean? So it's when you go to Kenya or when you go to like all these other places, even Fiji, man, like there's just,
you've
like,
been to Fiji?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like, it's just like when you get out of the resort area, everything looks beautiful and perfect. But as soon as you get out of the resort area, you just see like just kids playing on concrete with glass on the floor. And it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, there's, if I can help just a few kids reach their goal or reach their potential, or even just like not even their potential, but just have enough equipment to compete at a track meet, that to me is dope.
It's funny to me because as a photographer, your job is to capture some of these most beautiful things about certain places like this. And sometimes, you know, it does require a little bit of editing or a filter, but what's impacted you the most is seeing the most real stuff.
Right. Yeah, like to me, when I went to Kenya and I was at Kipchoge's training camp.
Flex.
separated by Kentucky's training is a barbed wire fence, and right next door is a school, right, for kids. And these kids have probably don't even know who's next door to them. Or probably they do.
Maybe they do. I think they would know who's there.
I don't know. I don't speak the language. But but they just see people running.
Yeah.
Right? And these are like little kids. These are like 6, 7, 8 year olds. So I'm assuming they just see someone running. Right?
Yeah.
But like to me, it was just like how innocent these kids are. And they're just intrigued by a camera. Intrigued by like got people running. Just running down the street with them, like not even the street, the dirt road with them, you know, like that to me is so cool. And like, yeah, my focus was Kipchoge, but my attention were on these kids. You know?
The wildest part too is that, hey, it doesn't take that much to be a really good runner. That could be one of these kids behind that barbed wire fence. Could be the next one.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So, and it, that's the thing. Like these little things that we can do for these kids, no matter where they are, it just takes some attention and just some, like to me, for an example, I never became the athlete that I wanted to be, but my parents were there if I wanted to do karate, if I wanted to do football, if I wanted to run track, like they were always there willing and able to give me whatever I wanted, right? Like these kids don't have that opportunity outside of here, right? So I don't know.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Puts it in perspective.
Yeah. All right. So we'll link to your donation page in the show notes, and we'll also include it on the website. And we'll probably put out some tweets and get the word out about your fundraising. I'm going to try and come up with some sort of creative idea for actual race day where we're going to try and raise an X amount of money by the time you hit certain mile markers.
Jesus Christ.
So
okay. Really
it's going to be on
me.
It's going to be sort of on you also to be like, hey guys, let's try and raise $100 before he hits 5 miles.
Right.
Or something like that. Or let's try and raise, you know, maybe $1,000 by the end of the race.
Hopefully. Yeah, that would be cool. All
right, I think that's a good benchmark. Yeah. We'll try, as you know, listeners of this podcast, we'll get your bib number and we'll be tracking it live, and we're going to try and raise $1,000 by the time you reach the finish line. Maybe even more. Hopefully more.
Hopefully more. So I am also going back to the marathon. I'm actually scared.
Really?
Absolutely. Like as confident as I sound, I am absolutely petrified.
You've been through it once, though. And all the other thing, too, is, like, your approach has changed because the last time you came on this podcast, you're like, yeah, it's the only reason I'm going to do this is to prove to people how easy it is. And it's like, and like, I'll never have to do it again.
No, I've fallen in love with the progression of this. I just need to prove to myself, it's more than anything is myself. I need to prove to myself that whatever, if I actually concentrate and set my mind into something, I want to be able to accomplish it. So this time around, like I said, there's been a couple of little hurdles just because of like work and travel and things like that where it's ticking me off the game, but it's good.
So wait, what is the scary part?
I don't want to stop. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to continuously, even if I shuffle, I don't want to, like, stop for a bacon, egg, and cheese like I did the first time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I kind of want to, like, I want to...
Say you ran the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but there's something that just triggered me to do this whole thing and take it seriously.
I don't think you should be scared because, like, all right, so in the 7 marathons I've done, I think really there's only been one or two, I think only one where I have not walked a single.
My thing is, I want to,
and there's nothing wrong with it. People get cramps, people need water.
I want to break sunset.
Breaking sunset.
Breaking sunset. Breaking sunset is the hashtag for this. But like the thing is, I'm starting in like corral H.
Oh no, that's unfortunate.
Exactly.
They might have you starting at noon. You don't have
right,
that much time.
Exactly. So that's the scary part. And that's where I kind of want to like, damn, like
it's getting darker earlier.
Exactly. So I need to like move, you know. And I just don't want the repeat of what happened last time. Like, I don't need a sweeper bus. I don't need to see none of that. So I kind of want to, like, sneak my way into, like, one of the earlier corrals.
I hopefully no one from New York Roadrunners is listening to this.
Or if someone from New York Roadrunners can help me with that,
yeah.
Please reach out to me at Not Afraid to Fail. Please. But, yeah, so.
That's awesome. Let's talk a little bit about, I guess, like, that you mentioned having some fears, but at the same time, you must be really pumped. You had a front row seat to seeing the world record in the marathon.
Yes.
You were in Berlin. You were doing a bunch of photography while you were out there, and you got to take photos of Eliud Kipchoge crossing the finish line.
Yeah.
Being up close in a special moment like that, what was that like?
Nerve-wracking, because it was... I'm super excited I got to see it happen from Kenya to Berlin last year to
London,
right? And then coming back to Berlin and watching it. So I felt like I've been part of the journey, and the staff knows me. So just making eye contact with Patrick, you know what I mean? Like 20 minutes, 30 minutes before the finish line, and he's just like throwing prayer hands at me. And like I have the picture and all that other stuff, but... It was so dope seeing it happen. And, like, I remember, like, putting on Instagram, just on stories, like, the picture that I took and the excitement that I had. Like, holy shit, he finally did it. You know what I mean? Like, that was so cool to me. And then once my job was done and took the photos, I got to, like, go to Patrick afterwards. And I was like, yo, man, congratulations. And... you know, you guys finally did it.
I like how you just call him Patrick. To those listening, it's Patrick Sang. He's Eliud Kipchoge's coach. But a nice little flex.
I call him Patty. But he just comes up to me and he's like, he had no words. And all he did was just hug me. And he goes like, thanks for being a part of this. So like, I know I probably had 1% of to do with anything with all of this.
Okay, come on. All right. The water guy said he claimed 1%. You're claiming 1%?
Half of a percent? I don't
know. I'll give you 0.01.
Sure, I ran with him a few times. I took a couple of photos. But, like, to me, I was just like, dude, like, it was just sick. For even someone, like, on his staff to just being like, yo, thanks for being a part of this. To me, that meant more than just taking that finish line photo, you know?
As you've been to a lot of these major marathons and the finishes and the excitement that happens in that moment. And so Ryan Stirner was out there for Sidious and taking some pictures out there. And so he texted me in right before the finish line. We had a decision to make. It's like, do you capture just, you know, the actual finish, or do you hang back a little bit more? Because some people are just there to capture the finish line photo. And then after that, there's people who, you know, want to capture the emotion. How did you make it work, really, where you were able to get both, really? You also have to think, too, as a photographer, I would imagine everyone has the same finish line photo,
right,
with the clock and him extending his arms. It's the one that's going to be on Getty Images or AP Images.
Right.
So, what goes through your mind in that moment so that you could be like, I'm going to differentiate my work by doing this?
So, to me, it's more of what... So no matter what, I have to get that shot of the clock. If you, that clock, him crossing the finish line is a must.
Yeah.
What you do after that is what makes you different. To me, I just stuck on Patrick. Like locked on Patrick, whatever he did, follow him. And the reason why is because I haven't seen it, but there's a picture where he's wiping Kipchoge's tears away.
Yeah.
Like that to me is like the shot.
You got that?
I have that shot. Okay. Yeah. So like that to me is a shot where I was just like, no, like how many years these guys been together? That to me tells a story of the relationship that they had compared to just here's my finish line shot. Right. And I think that's the difference between like journalists, like photographers who are journalists and photographers who are event photographers. Like to me, I want to be able to tell the whole story, not just get that event, that final shot crossing the finish line four clicks after that and then move on to something else. Right. To me, I want to be able to tell that whole story in images. So.
Yeah. Did it surprise you that he sped up after the finish line where in terms of like he picked up the pace after crossing the finish line, went, hugged his coach, So in that, you have seconds to think. Like, are you just point and shoot? Point and so, like, is it spray and pray?
Spray and pray. but it's. I knew I got the finish line shot. I was blocked by the photographers. So there's photographers are in front of me with green bibs. Those guys are AP, Getty. Those are the photos that you're going to get from them.
Yeah.
I was blocked. So then what my decision at that point was, do I stick on Kipchoge or do I just go and prep myself on Patrick? I was just like, I'm not going to get a clean shot. Let me just go to Patrick, wait for him to get there. And then, you know, capture those moments. Because all the other guys with the green vests were not there. And that's why I was able to get those shots. So.
Is there a lot of elbows thrown among photographers? Or, like, what is that?
I think so. I was in a corral. So, yes, there's a lot of pushing and shoving just to get the shot. And you kind of. So, Dan Vernon. Shout out to Dan Vernon.
Great photographer.
Love him. Love that guy. So
he's a photographer who does work with the NN running team, and so he, if you check his Instagram page, like, he's actually one of the guys who's pretty much spent a ton of time.
Yeah.
He is photographer who's been the closest.
He's been like 25% of that journey. I was able to get into the corral, and then my boy Pim, who's the other great photographer, both of them were set outside. I went inside first. Dan followed, and I just kind of was like to Dan, I was like, listen, dude, I'm gonna go low, you go high, and you just, if you need to shoot off my shoulder, just make it happen. You know what I mean? Like, don't worry about me.
So there is some teamwork.
There is, if I know the photographer.
Yeah.
If it's someone else that I don't know, I'm not concerned about you, right? But I know, like, we're both working together in the long run. And I don't know how, going back to Pim real quick, Pim is a phenomenal photographer. One
What's
of my
his Instagram?
Friends, at Pim Rinks.
Okay.
Can you just add a little, but phenomenal photographer. I have no idea. He was at the back of the corral and he got almost every shot that went on Nike Instagram or Nike this. And I was like, it frustrated me so much because I was like, I got there first. I secured my spot. And this guy is just like, I don't know, man. He's just a magician. I love his work. And I just so happy about that week and how we were all able to work together. And it was cool. I don't know. So,
are you going to Chicago?
Yes.
And you'll be doing photography out there?
Yeah, finish line and some other stuff. Asks that I need to do.
It's something I've always been wondering. Can we get your Garmin going that day? I want to know what is the total like mileage that you are running around and doing.
Sure. Now I used to be a little well. This time around, yeah, because I have a comms ask. Think there's like some other stuff that I need to do, so I'll be running around this time. So yes, I will put the Garmin on.
Yeah.
There's gonna be bike riding. There's gonna be running. There's gonna be finish line.
You might, get you in the water somewhere in Lake Michigan. We'll get a little triathlon going.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do that. It'll be fun.
So the plan is, you've got 5 weeks to go. What are you hoping to accomplish in this last bit of training? And
at this point, after taking like a two and a half, a little over 2 weeks off,
we're doing something interesting, I guess. You're doing the taper first, and then you're gonna bit more training.
Yeah. So I at this point, my ankle's been getting swollen and hasn't been that feeling that great. I just want to get healthy to the healthy start, healthy finish, break sunset, and my goal was on sub 4:30. It's not gonna happen. I'm gonna settle for anything under 5:15, you know, like, and if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, I know there's still a lot more work that I need to do and a lot more building. My mentality has switched and it kind of is like, hey, you know what? I'm just happy that I'm able to do a 12 mile run now, you know? So I'm putting the ego aside and just build.
Yeah. I think what you should do is go back to the results of the 2014 New York City Marathon. That's the one I got hurt on the Queensboro Bridge, cramped up, had to do some walking and, you know, trying to jog for the last like 9 miles. I think I ended up running like 5:05 or something like that.
Okay.
Beat my 2014 time. Go for that.
Okay.
I think,
hopefully.
I think it's my, that's my first
my
New
fingers.
York.
Really?
Yeah.
My first New York was beat Al Roker.
And you did.
I did. What was that time? You know it by heart.
I don't know exactly. I don't even know.
My time.
I don't know it. Stop. I know you were on page 53.
I know. That's another thing, too. I cannot be in the last three pages anymore. I'm better than that.
I think
that.
You can get easily, because last time, what was it? Maybe you beat 1,000 people?
Maybe. Yeah, you know what? They need to make the font a little bigger.
So that there's more pages.
Right, exactly.
All right, Jason. Well, this was a nice, quick, fun podcast that we did. We taped this in the back of an Uber. So if you did hear some noises from other cars and stuff, that actually was not us driving as we were recording. So we're being smart. We're being safe.
Yeah, thanks, Hua, for letting us use the back seat of the car, bro. It was great.
All right, Jason. We'll catch up with you maybe after the marathon.
I think after the marathon sounds good.
But let's raise some money first.
Yeah, please.
For that'll Girls Gotta Run.
Girls Gotta Run. Hit the link in bio. Yeah. Shout out to Dan Vernon. Follow at Dan Vernon.
You're getting all your plugs
and shout
in
out
right
to
now.
At Pim Ranks. Shout out to Zach Hetrick.
Just for
Z Hetrick. Shout outs to Fred Gorris. At Fred Gorris. And shout out to Sean H. Henry Lee. I think that's his name. Sean Henry Lee. Yes. All shout right. out to them all. Yo, and also huge congrats to my homie Caitlin Phillips in Berlin. Yo, boo boo, BB, whatever. You're an inspo.
That does it for this episode of the podcast. We'll be back on Thursday with a full episode. It's Parker Stinson. We talk Chicago, we talk training, we talk Oregon, all that good stuff. Coming to your podcast feed on Thursday. I've been your host, Chris Chavez, wishing you some happy and healthy running. And also, legs are feeling good.